ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And we're going to finish up Paul's letter to Titus, the pastor from the island on Crete. And if you remember from our last study in Titus chapter 2, we focused on the qualities of a sound church. And remember how Paul opened up that chapter. He wrote in Titus 2:1, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And we saw how important it was to have sound or healthy doctrine. But then you have to take it a step further and apply it to your life. You know, that's what Paul is saying here in Titus 2:1. You need to have the right information and then apply that right information to the way you live, to your life. You need to live what you say you believe. It's just not, you know, talking the talk. It's walking the walk. And the Amplified Bible puts Titus 2:1 like this, and I kind of like what it says. It says, "But as for you, teach what is fitting and becoming to sound, wholesome doctrine, the character and right living that identify true Christians." Here's the thing. You cannot separate the two. In fact, it's really hypocrisy to say we believe what the Bible says and to live contrary to what it's saying. The Bible never separates doctrine from duty, the truths of God from the behavior we're to manifest in our lives. Well, from there, we looked at Paul speaking about the older men, older women, young women, and bond slaves or employees, and how they were to live out their faith. And then Paul comes and concludes with the grace of God and how important that is. It not only brings us to salvation, but it sustains us in this present life, and it's by the grace of God we can live. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So how important it is. Well, this evening, as we move into Titus chapter 3, Paul's going to transition from telling Christians how they're to act in the church and then how they're to live out in the world. And that's important, right? And it's real simple breaking this chapter down, verses 1 through 11 of Titus 3, exhorting the church, and then his conclusion in verses 12 through 15 of Titus 3. And like I said, Paul is moving from how believers are to live in the church to how they're to live in society. In other words, it says, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." They need to see that our faith is real. You know, Paul talked about us being living epistles, living stones. You know, we think that at the end of the book of Acts, that's when Acts ends. No, Acts continues on today. We are living the book of Acts as the Holy Spirit is working in the church, in believers' lives. Now, let me give you an example here about a good example and a bad example of Christianity. And the reality is, and you know, some may get angry, but one's not really a Christian, but uses that title. This article is from January 21st, 2019. And the name of the article is this: "Lady Gaga says Mike and Karen Pence are worst representation of Christianity." And this is what the article said. Listen really closely. It's interesting. "Lady Gaga has criticized the U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen over her role teaching art at a school that excludes LGBT students and parents. On stage at our Las Vegas concert residency, Gaga said, 'You say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. I am a Christian woman, and what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everybody is welcome. So you can take all that disgrace, Mr. Pence, and you can look yourself in the mirror and you'll find it right there.' Karen Pence is to return to Emmanuel Christian School, Virginia, to teach art 2 days a week. She worked there for 12 years before her husband became vice president, and the school has a parent agreement that states the school can discontinue enrollment of a student if they or their parents are in opposition to the biblical lifestyle the school teaches. This definition includes supporting or condoning sexual immorality, homosexual activity, or bisexual activity. Gaga, who defines as bisexual, has long been a champion of gay rights. Her famous meat dress was a statement on the anti-LGBT policies in the U.S. military, and her hit single, Born This Way, was a celebration of LGBT identities. Now, here's the question. Were Mike Pence and his wife Karen correct in what they were doing? Well, absolutely. There's nothing that they did that was wrong. They are adhering to a biblical worldview that excludes sexual immorality. And they didn't do it in a hateful way, right? They didn't even bring this up to the public. It was brought up by Lady Gaga and others who slammed them for living out their faith. The other end of the spectrum, though, is Lady Gaga, who calls herself a Christian and yet is saying things and doing things that are opposite of what the Bible says. And again, I don't believe she is a Christian by her lifestyle, by the things she says. And all I can do, I don't know her heart, all I can do is listen to what she says, watch what she does, and it doesn't add up to being a Christ follower. Not at all. And what I want to bring out is this. Jesus said that we are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And yeah, there are some people that are persecuted because they're just plain obnoxious Christians. You know, that's just not biblical, right? We're not to be obnoxious about our faith. But when you live out your faith, people are going to get irritated by it. And I guarantee you, as we continue on and the days get closer for the Lord's return, there is going to be more and more antagonism towards Christianity and for what we believe. You know, intolerance and hate is a one-way street. It only works for them. They can be hateful and intolerant of what we believe. Now, granted, I'm not saying anything derogatory against LGBT or immoral lifestyles. All I'm saying is what God says, it's wrong. That's all I can say. Now, if I started making fun of them, then I would be wrong. But I'm not doing that. And we got to be careful that we don't block the light from shining Jesus to people because of those things that get in the way, because of those words we say or the things that we do. You know, I think, you know, Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen handled the situation very well. They didn't sway away from what God has said in his word, and they weren't obnoxious about it. They just are doing what they believe is right. And we'll see that as we look at Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, as Paul is going to exhort the church. Now, also, again, verses 12 through 15, just the concluding remarks to Titus, his son in the faith. And again, he's ministering to the people on the island of Crete. So let's pick up Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. Paul wrote, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." So Paul starts out by exhorting Titus to remind them of four things that pertain to us as Christians. And the word remind in the Greek is in the present tense, which means that Titus was to keep on reminding them of these things. Why? Why do we have to be reminded of things? Because we forget them. I mean, think about it. How easy it is to forget these things. You know, I've been teaching here for 25 years, and some of you have been with us the whole time, right? I'm not telling you anything new. I'm reminding you of what we learned already. In fact, you know, Peter tells us that in 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 15. He says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." A large part of ministry is just reminding people of what they already know, keeping it fresh in their minds. And as we're reminded of these things, it should help to keep us humble and to live lives that are pleasing to God and serving others. It should help to keep us focused on God and what he wants us to do. And the four areas that Paul's going to share with Titus cover the first eight verses of this chapter. He starts out by sharing our duties as Christians in verses 1 and 2. Then he speaks of our former condition as sinners, as unbelievers, in verse 3. From there, he moves on to our salvation through Christ in verses 4 through 7. And lastly, Paul speaks of our mission to an unbelieving world in verse 8. Now, these verses here, these first two verses, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. How many of you have that in your Bibles? You all do, right? Better raise your hand. Better be in there. How many of us like that it's in there? Yeah, none of you do. Why? Because it's a difficult one, right? Respecting government. And with all the stuff that's been going on over the last few months here, and especially now with things that are happening now, I've seen the Facebook post. And we got to be careful here. We could be so right that we could be so wrong. The information may be totally correct, but we're not here to win the battle necessarily of this argument. What we're doing is to win people to Jesus. So that's always got to be at the forefront. And I can't tell you how hard it's been for me over the last few weeks. I just want to scream on Facebook. And God's been very gracious, and because some of the stuff just drives me up a wall. But again, I don't want to win the battle and lose a person from coming to Christ because they don't want to hear it anymore. You know, you may think, our government is so horrible, but for Titus, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't a big deal like we have today. You know, that's an excuse, okay? And if we really think that the Romans were really good at their government and the things they did, we need to study Roman history. They were not that great. They were pretty evil too. And history tells us that the Cretans hated Roman rule. Does that sound familiar? I think most of us hate our government rule. And so Titus had to deal with this issue because they hate it. The Cretans hated Roman rule. And Paul wants Titus to deal with this anti-government sentiment in the churches of Crete. You know, one writer put it like this. He said, Christians were often looked on with suspicion in the Roman Empire because their conduct was so different and they met in private meetings for worship. It was important that they be good citizens without compromising the faith. Their pagan neighbors might disobey the law, but Christians must submit to the authority of the state. So what we're seeing here in these first two verses of Titus 3 is Paul's dealing with Christian duties, how we're to respect, honor those who are in authority over us. And again, I think this is a problem in the church today. And because of that, it overflows in the way we treat people who are outside the church, those who are in authority over us. Now, again, you know, some people, your blood pressure is really going up, and if you're mad at me, that's okay. Send me emails, that's fine. But just listen to what I have to say, and then you can send me the email. Turn to Romans chapter 13. I know some of you have ripped Romans 13 out of your Bibles, but we can't do that. And I want to look at verses 1 through 7 here. And just listen to what Paul said. And again, the Roman government was not a good government. Their taxes were outrageous. The immorality was rampant. I mean, most of the emperors were homosexual. So listen to what he said. He said, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. See, again, the Roman government was just as wicked as our government is today. And what I want you to notice, and you can check it out, Paul never called for protest, rebellion, the passing of laws even to help Christians. What's interesting is he tells us we're to submit to the government authorities. Of course, unless they tell us to do things that are contrary to what God has said. And what I mean by that is that if the government says, hey, look, you can no longer talk about Jesus anymore, well, then I'm going to obey God rather than man. If they tell you, you cannot teach from portions of the Bible, well, then I'm going to obey God rather than man. See, there's the difference. Or even with these, you know, the stay-at-home orders. If the government said, hey, everyone can gather together except churches, well, then I'm going to obey God rather than man. You see the difference there? We're to be examples. And we may not agree with everything that the government is saying. There's a lot that I don't agree with. But God has placed them in that position. And I need to respect them. And, you know, the Lord showed me that several years ago when President Obama was in office. And I was posting some things, some jokes and stuff. And the Lord really convicted me. He said, are you honoring, are you respecting the office of presidency by what you're doing? And that was a hard one. Yeah, but. There's no buts with God, you know? That's it. And so I'm very careful not to put down those who are in office. I can pray for them. I don't have to agree with everything they do. That's not what God is saying. But you have to respect the office and the person that God has placed there. Think about someone who is a tyrant in total control. Do you respect that person in office? What about Nebuchadnezzar? Jeremiah 25, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing and perpetual desolation. Jeremiah 27, verses 5 and 6. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field I have also given him to serve him. God can use anyone for his plans and his purposes, even evil nations to fulfill them. I think Nebuchadnezzar gets saved. I think it's through Daniel that he gets saved. But that's not how he started out. And again, it's really not an option. And I realize that's a hard one for us. But we're told to be subject to rulers and authorities to obey. We got to be careful there. We may not like everything the government is doing. We may not like the taxes that they put forth upon us. But we pay them. Because God has placed these people in their position. We can fight against all these things, but I guarantee you, in the end, you're not going to win. But you know what we can do instead? Bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you bring it to the lost. They get saved. Their hearts are changed. Their lives are transformed. Can it go up into the government as well? Absolutely. Government officials can get saved. And what happens is it changes the entire nation. We're trying to change laws, but laws don't change a heart. Only God does. And I know that's a hard one. And here's the thing. You know, Paul said to be ready for every good work. What does that mean? Well, by our words, by our actions, by what we do, we are open to do good work. People can see how we're helping others. We're obedient. And we can shine for Jesus. But we can also close the door by our words, by our actions. You know, I guess I'll put this question forth. As you, you know, bring you're railing accusations against the government, which could be very legitimate and be very true. Have you ever won anyone to Christ by doing that? Now, there's nothing wrong with talking about it with other Christians. I have no problem with that. I think we should be aware of what's going on in this country and in this world. And we need to understand the days we're living in. But we don't win people to Christ by that. When unsaved post things like, what in the world is going on? We can share with them Jesus. Well, this is what the Bible says is going on. Again, you could agree with me or disagree. This is something that's heavy on my heart. You know, I think that's why Paul didn't deal with the wicked government trying to overthrow it. He preached Christ crucified because, again, as people change, so will society. I guess it's not just secular government, but it's humanity. Can we treat humanity that way? Can we respect people? Obviously, we don't agree with everything that people are doing, right? But can we at least respect them in terms of not putting them down so the door is closed for us to talk with them? Because I guarantee you, I know it is with me. When someone starts coming against me, that wall goes up. You know, that's it, I'm done. Right? Shouldn't be, but that's what happens. And with the unsaved, that's exactly right. And again, there's been a couple people that I've wanted to post things because of what they're involved in. And the Lord said, back off for right now. Back off. Don't do it. And I can't tell you how hard that was. I don't know why I'm struggling so much right now. I guess I see all the injustice that's going on. But the Lord said, back off for right now. Don't do it, because you're not going to win this one. They've made up their mind. And so I have to back off. You see, we are to make an influence in our community, and not in a bad way, but in a good way. You know, Paul in Romans 12:18 said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, try to live at peace with people. You know, you do your part. It doesn't mean that they're going to get along with you, but you do your best. You try to get along with people. Even though, you know, you may feel that it's not fair, you know, they did something to you. Hey, I guess the way I look at it is, hey, look at all I did against the Lord. Look at all my failures. And he loves me. Now, can you reach out and love others? Not easy, right? I mean, these are not something, this is not something that the flesh wants to do. At least my flesh doesn't. I don't know about yours. Mine does not want to do it. And it's a battle. I know it. But wow, that's what we are to do. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That's our Christian duty. Not easy. And for, you know, Titus, it was tough where he was at because these guys were known for always fighting, and especially against Rome. Now, as we get into Titus 3:3, it gives us another perspective. He's of why we should obey authority, and he's going to be dealing with sinners, unbelievers, you know, where we came from, I guess. Look at verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So this is our former condition, as sinners, as unbelievers. And isn't it easy to forget where you came from? Yeah, it is. You know, what we did before we were saved. And so we start looking down upon people now. I would never do that. How evil are they? Oh, they're just horrible. And God goes, hey, Joe, you were there too. You were one of them. Don't you remember? That's the reality. We're here just by the grace of God. And that's what Paul wants Titus to remind them of, their former conduct, their former condition as sinners, as unbelievers. And I think as we're aware of that, and we're aware of where we're at right now in our struggles, we can be very thankful to God what he's done in our lives, right? Amazing that he, you know, let's face it, how many projects do we start that we just go, forget it, this is too much work, and we throw it on the side? Back burner, right? I think God is pretty gracious and merciful. He doesn't put us on the back burner. He is always working in our lives. And I think once we realize that, what God is doing and has done in our lives so far, it causes us to have compassion, to have kindness to those who are lost, and really for believers that have gone astray. God transformed our lives, and we need to remember where we came from. Not dwell on the past, not live in the past, but remember. So we still have that compassion, that kindness towards the lost, remembering where we were at.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.